All right, ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome. Super pumped to be here. Another great episode of Honest to God on AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We are live from beautiful Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks to our friend Justin that some of us in here know.
Big La shout fata. Out to Justin.
Lo siento, pero... La fata.
Justin La fata.
Oh, La fata. I'm sorry. I thought we were showing my Spanish skills.
Not yet.
No, I can hang a little bit. Just a
smidge. Un poquito.
Much better with writing.
I think La fata is Italian, right?
I think so, too. I think he did say he's Italian.
Yeah.
Sorry, Justin La fata.
Spanish, Italian, potato, tomato.
It's all Latin, I think.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, that's a good point, Katie.
So today on Honest to God, we're just going to talk about the etymology of people's names. We're going to go into last names. We're going to go into social security numbers. We're going to go into all that stuff. We're really going to do a deep dive.
I was told to bring my credit card and list the numbers.
We're going to show it front and back to the camera.
Including the three-letter code.
There we go.
Whoa! What was that? Did you hear that? That was amazing. I heard some sort of eldritch lurching, some sound from the beyond.
Hey.
It's amazing. All right, so sorry, that rocked me for a minute. Let's get started here in a minute. We got a great day today. We got Alicia, we got Thomas, we got Katie, we got Polo.
Yes, sir.
Killing it, Polo. The hair's on point.
Hey,
today,
thank you,
man. Big fan.
Thank you.
As always, we got producer Julian. Producing. Looking
probably
good, man.
Started as my first or best episode ever, I think. I killed it. At least
this
the start.
Did you say this is your best episode?
I think so. The way I killed that started, just everything flowed perfectly.
I was literally about to bring that up, and I'm glad you did. It was flawless. We all noticed.
Yeah. It was not flawless, but it felt good. I
didn't want to say anything. I did notice the flaw that you're referring to. I did see that.
Yeah.
I counted six myself.
And then as always, to my right, extending off into nothing, inky blackness, is Shonos Benny, or is it Shonos Benny? We don't know. No idea.
We'll never know.
It's a weird gag that we keep doing. I'm going to keep commenting on how weird it is every episode, too. Speaking of episodes, this is episode 15,642 of Honest to God here on AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. And we still haven't prayed, which means we're behind the eight ball. Anybody want to volunteer to lead us?
I'll do it.
You go, girl.
Okay.
Got it, Katie.
Let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this time that we have to spend together. Lord, we ask you to send your Spirit upon us to help us know where you're moving in our lives. Be with all of us during this Lent, and help us to grow in deeper communion with you, Lord. And Blessed Mother, may you always be with us. Wrap us in your mantles. We pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Father, Son,
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's pretty good. It's pretty solid.
What do we give that?
I was just thinking of the grade. She gets 5-point girl bonus.
Okay.
Girls get 5-point bonus because I have four daughters and I like them better. I'm gonna give you, because you did do the rote prayer at the end, which is great. Once again, you know, blessed mother, but you still lose points for that. 90 even. We're gonna go with 90 even.
Okay, got it.
Comment below what you think her grade was.
Yeah. Ooh. Now, so today on Honest to God, I've been given two separate categories. One came from our corporate overlords who said we were talking about the Eucharist, and apparently they told all of you that, and so you were prepared to talk about the Eucharist, which is great.
It is great.
Big fan of the Eucharist, right? In general, the whole God coming to earth, right? Taking on corporeal form, all about that. Thanks for that, Jesus. That's fantastic. Mm. But then my producer Julian, he told me that it was a What's on Your Mind episode, and to prove once and for all, dear listener, dear viewer, that I'm fighting for you against big AM Catholic radio and our corporate overlords, we're going to do a really Eucharist heavy What's on Your Mind. That'll stick it to the man, I think. We've talked about this, as the resident bad boy of AM Catholic radio that airs between 4 and 5 on Saturdays. I think outside the box, all right? You never know what's going to happen. I showed up 7 minutes before the pledge drive earlier. which is dangerous, right? That's kind of close, guys. It's that kind of edgy, like, life in the fast lane lifestyle that has brought me to where I am. AM Radio on AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. So with that, we're going to get started. Let's start with three fun facts apiece.
Three for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's we're all right. Veterans. One and one and one and one. No, you get two. It's been a long time. And then one. You can do two. You can kill it. You're going to kill it, Alicia.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with Polo?
Yes, sir. Let's start.
Like, that was like really beautiful, like good, like, and don't take this the wrong way, like golden retriever energy. You know? That's a good thing. That's a compliment.
100% Thank you.
Yeah. It's like Father Mike Schmidt. Like, it's a huge compliment.
He's super cool. Hello, everyone.
This is Father Mike Schmidt here with Ascension Presents.
Can you just do the whole thing with Father Mike Schmidt?
But let's start with the fun fact.
Okay, I'm ready.
So my fun fact is I recently saw the relic of St. Jude's arm.
Oh, nice.
Was that at St. Monica's? Where was that?
It was at Holy Trinity down in Peachtree City.
Cool. St. Catherine's had it too.
Yes, up north.
Heck yeah.
Yep, up north, way up north where the air gets cold.
So as a rule, all of my favorite Catholic things are things that really weird out people who aren't Catholic. And I really like that. There's something that really makes me feel great about the faith. It really does. That there's like this guy who died a long, long, long time ago, and he's a saint. And so what do? We said, we're going to cart that arm around everywhere, and everybody's going to touch it and look at it. And like, I just think that's neat. Oh, it's weird and bizarre and really cool.
It is. He, as the priest mentioned, he was the nobody of the apostles.
Oh, 2,000 years later, they're referring to him as nobody. That's sad. Okay, tell more about that. I'm interested.
So he said that Jude was his first was Jesus' first cousin, but he was nowhere to be seen on Calvary. But when Jesus came back, Jesus forgave him, and he had the option of forgiving himself for not being there for Jesus. And because of his yes to forgiving himself and yes to accepting the Lord's forgiveness, he's now one of our saints of the impossible.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And it gets me back to one of the biggest tragedies of the New Testament that I come back to a lot. I was just having this conversation with kids the other day. Judas, right? Like Judas, yeah, he betrays Jesus. That's not great. You know, a place in Dante's Inferno in literally the mouth of Satan, right? Yeah. But Judas and Peter both commit the exact same offense against Christ, right? Of like betraying Jesus. And the difference is that Peter comes back and says, hey, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And there would be right now, Mass is being offered in the Basilica of St. Judas the Repentant or something, had that gone differently. And that's good. I like that story about Jude.
Yeah, because Judas had the option of forgiving himself.
Right.
Because the priest said that Jesus forgave Judas the moment he said, friend, do you kiss me to turn me in? Or so, I might be mis-
You betray me with a kiss.
Yes, exactly. And he calls him friend.
Right.
So Jesus forgives him in that moment.
Forgives Judas, not Jude, Judas.
Judas, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So Judas could have been the greatest of the apostles if he had forgiven himself.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm trying. Okay, I hate this. I've talked about this before on the show. Every time anybody ever talks about an apostle now, I just try to think of which one of the chosen they are. Like in the show, The Chosen, I was like, wait, what does his face look like? All the apostles now just have the face of the dude from The Chosen. And it really bothers me. I used to have all these interesting pictures and would come up with new ones in my brain. And now I just think of the guy who plays opposite Jonathan Remy in The Chosen. Yeah.
Yeah, all I think of is Jonathan Remy too.
Yeah. And I'm a big Peter fan. Really like Peter a lot in that one. He's a good one.
I think of Obi-Wan Kenobi with Jesus.
Have you seen that picture?
Yeah.
Where the guy put the Obi-Wan Kenobi
picture. My grandma has this hanging up. She thinks it's Jesus, and it's Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Kenobi. Yeah.
Did you watch the Obi-Wan show?
I didn't.
Yeah, me either. No. Oh, I was hoping you were going to talk about it.
I'm kind of like, I'm a Star Wars, you know, fanboy. I love all the first three, especially, with 4, 5, and 6, but I know, like, I guess I kind of got like, it got to be too much. Same with superhero movies. It's just, I was all for it for like the first, you know, 10 years of it.
The first decade, first 100 movies or so. Like, yeah, I could hang out.
It was cool, but it's just like, so it's gotten to be a little too much for me. So I'm taking a break.
Yeah, me too. I'm more or less removed from all that stuff. Katie, what are you saying? What is that?
What?
What was a hand?
Oh, no. No, I was just doing like
super cool Star Wars hot take. About
No. I always do this. Like, just something. That's okay. That's groovy. Okay. See? That's how he caught it.
I dig it.
Cool.
What's your fun fact, Katie?
My fun fact. Oh, gosh. Well, okay. So as we're talking about the Eucharist today, I actually have a locket that has the Eucharist in it. Mm. And I hope that we can get this. We probably can't get this on camera, but I actually have a place. So it says On Use Day in the front, but then on the back there's a little cross. And there's a little space. I don't know if you guys can see that. It kind of reminds me of the Eucharist. It's, see, it's a little white.
Oh, good. I thought you were about to say, this is an actual host that I took from Mass.
No!
Like, we're going to stop recording right now. I'm pretty sure you have to give me that.
A little, I mean, I think this is, I think all lockets are meant to have pictures in them. Yeah. So I think it was meant to have like a saint's picture, like maybe the Blessed Mother or something. But it kind of does look like the Eucharist when you think about it.
It looks like a monstrance right now.
Yeah. It does. Cool. It really does. And it looks like it's holding, you know, it's holding a little tiny host, but it's there's no host in it. I know I didn't steal from the church, so everybody just be advised of that. So
I have a terrible story in that regard. A priest who taught us a lot in college. I'm not going to try to guess the name, but let's not say his name out loud. But he was talking about how he was over at a house one time and a family was showing their like their scrapbook of all the saint stuff. Just a quick PSA. When you have a priest over, he doesn't want to just go through all your like saint stuff. I'm sure he loves that, but just like you can talk about just like what you did today. That's allowed. You don't have to just like impress him with how many prayers your 4-year-old's memorized. Anyway, and in the scrapbook, they had all these pictures of the little girls' first communion, including the Eucharist that they had kept and put in there. And our priest friend said, I'm just going to take that right now and consume that. But it had been sitting in a book for like 5 years or something.
Oh, my word.
Pressed in a photo book. And it's scandalous, but there was nothing malicious whatsoever. The family's part, he said, no, it was just total ignorance of just, oh, that'd be a great souvenir. We should take the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ and put it in our little scrapbook.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
And it's even funnier because I actually am trained extraordinary minister at my parish, and the one thing that they always tell us is to look out for people that will try to take it. They'll take communion in the hand and then they'll walk off with it to their seats. And luckily that happened to me, where there was a little girl that you know, I served her at one of the masses and put it in her little hand, and she was walking off with it. And then this dear elderly gentleman that's been a knight with the parish for like 3 decades, like, tapped her on the shoulder, and he's just like, please consume it.
Okay.
You know? So I'm just like, needless to say, I go over there, you know, after Mass and just be like, thank you, I didn't catch that.
If only there were a way to ensure that people didn't walk off with it in their hands, maybe we could receive it on, like, the tongue directly. That's my crazy idea.
Kneeling. I don't know. Yeah.
Oops. Once again, my liturgical preference does not equal orthodoxy, but I feel like that might solve a bunch of problems. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, shout out to the Knights of Columbus who helped us out in that situation. And if you are not a knight, consider joining today.
Yeah.
Unless you're a girl.
Yeah, no girls allowed. Let us have that thing.
Joined with us.
I'm a 1-degree knight. My name is on the council sign in the Georgia Tech.
Mine too. No way.
Hey.
Little Catholic center.
Yeah. Our Lady of Guadalupe Council at Southern Catholic.
Those were good times.
Those were good times.
I remember we had like a pig roast, and then they had so much extra soda, and my roommate... who was a cool guy, he took all the extra soda back to our dorm room.
Was it actually soda?
It was actually soda. Yeah, it was like Coca-Cola. And for like a month straight, we're just feasting on different soda, like Coke and Sprite. And we'd even have people, like fellow knights, come.
Is this just a story about how you stole a bunch of stuff with Knights of Columbus?
No, my roommate, who was high up in the knights, you know, reigning power of
knighthood.
Thank you. It was his to take.
Yeah.
I just partook of, you know, what my roommate offered.
No, I dig it. That's cool.
Fruits of the labor.
It was a fun month. Yeah.
I like that.
So if you're at Georgia Tech, take a look. Go walk into the council. You'll see my name. You'll see John Henry's name, and you'll see Thomas's name.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, Polo.
Yeah, Polo. Where are you, man?
Yeah,
next year, though.
What year did you graduate high school, Polo?
2015.
Yeah, you couldn't have come.
Sorry. He wasn't allowed.
You have to be 18 and older.
So if you're 18 in 2015, that means he was, what, 13? when we were knights.
Okay.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah, you could have. Is that a... No, you have to be 18.
18,
right?
Yeah. 18.
You have to be 18. Sorry,
Polo. It's not at the time. But next year, though.
You could have been a squire. You could have been our one squire.
The Squire of Columbus.
Is that really a thing? Do knights actually... They don't have squires in the knights.
They do.
Yeah. What?
They do.
They really? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's something every day.
Totally, yeah.
No child labor laws. I'm just kidding.
I'm not going to get off on this for too long because I do want to get through the rest of the fun facts, but I go down rabbit holes constantly. I can't help it. The Knights of Columbus would be so much cooler if that you look like you know what I'm going to say. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Oh, I know exactly.
What am I going to say? What am I going to say then? If
they brought back the feather hats.
Okay, so now what I was going to say, but that was an excellent point. Did the swords go too? Or just
no.
Sabers.
No,
sabers. Okay. You have to have sabers.
Yeah, I dig it. Here's what I want. And maybe they exist, and I'm just not cool enough to be in it. We need good Catholic secret societies to combat the Masons and all these things that we've been fighting against since the Enlightenment, right?
Yeah,
we need to do that. It'd be way. I would like the Knights of Columbus way more if there were more like cool like nighttime raids on Masonic lodges. Can I say that on the radio? I don't know. I feel like
you just
not,
said it.
So, well,
if not, we'll hear about it.
We'll
later.
You'll hear it now.
We will hear it later.
Get rid of it in post. It'll be great. What do you got, Thomas? You got a fun fact?
I had a joke, but everyone got serious. So
you got a joke?
It's not okay.
So. I have a lot of terrible jokes.
No, it's a great joke.
What's the joke?
Everyone
like
went
club.
Super serious. So my fun fact is, full circle moment, I received my first communion at St. Jude. I went to school there growing up.
In Sandy Springs?
In Sandy Springs.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And then I also saw the arm, and I went to a friend's house afterwards, and I said, hey, I just got back from seeing the relic at St. Catherine of Siena's.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I have a relic of St. Jude as well. So I saw two relics of St. Jude.
Wait, he just had one
day.
He's like, I've got the other arm. How did you do that?
Exactly.
We don't
said.
Know how well preserved the other one has been.
I'm not sorry.
Been in a capsule.
I didn't mean to like one up you, Polo. That just came out.
It just happened by accident.
I don't think I did one up you because we both saw the arm, but I did.
Alicia actually, cool. She's gonna
that's still super
she
cool.
She found the arm of St. Peter's for the first time.
Yep.
Yeah, like 20 years ago.
Armenia. You know.
Pretty cool.
She's on pilgrimage.
Yeah, that's really cool. Tripped over it.
You know.
Still had the "Hello, my name is" like sticker. You could see some of the lapel as well. That's bad.
What about you, Jenna? Do you have any fun facts? I haven't heard you share anything.
Nothing but fun facts. What do you want to hear about? Give me a fun fact category.
Is there ever like how about like what about objects while you were on pilgrimage? Like objects that had not been moved in hundreds of years.
I think I've told that on the air.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What he's referring to is in 2009, maybe.
Yeah.
Thomas and myself and a group of students from school all went to did sort of like an Eastern Mediterranean pilgrimage, right? We did the Holy Land, we did the islands of Greece, including like Patmos, where John wrote the Gospels. It was super cool. We went to Ephesus in Turkey. Ooh. We went to Rome. We went to Bosnia and Herzegovina. It was super cool. We went all over the place. And there's a big, giant, beautiful church called the Holy Sepulchre that you all heard of in Jerusalem. And a fun thing about the Holy Sepulchre is that it's owned jointly by the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims.
Oh.
It's like Catholics, Armenian Orthodox, Jews, and Muslims all own it together. And you can't fix anything. You can't do anything there unless all four agree, and they've never agreed.
You remember? There's like a picture in the ladder is sitting there still. Some one guy tried to paint, and they said, hey, no, we can't move anything else.
And it was from the 1830s was the picture.
Crazy.
And if you look up, that ladder is still leaned up against a window because no one will touch it because everybody has to agree to prevent everybody killing each other, right? Like they do over there, right?
Dang.
And so with that in mind, I walked into the a small chapel. I think it was a Syrian Orthodox chapel or something that had caught on fire hundreds of years ago, and it was all fiery, right? But attached to that chapel was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, not the one that he gave to Christ, right? But his tomb, which is dingy and not nearly as impressive. And I wanted to crawl into his tomb because of supposedly Joseph of Arimathea's body was down there. I don't know if it was down there. I can't confirm it. But what I did is I started to crawl, and there was a lamp, this ancient wrought iron lamp on chains on the wall. And I picked it up and I tried to use it to crawl down. And then when I put it back on the hook broke out of the wall.
Oh, no.
The lamp fell on the ground. It was wild. And so I have irreparably damaged the Shrine of the Holy Sepulchre, and that is a joke for legal reasons. That was my joke that I told. That's definitely not a true story. Yeah. Uh-huh. What you got, Alicia? You got a story for it? You got a fun fact of it?
My fun fact is because of the Relic of St. Jude, I actually met Polo's mother. 10 out of 10 would recommend. She's a delightful woman.
Wow. Thank you, Alicia.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Big shout out to Polo's mom.
Maricela Vargas Garcia.
Whoa. Which is crazy because your mom is actually the sponsor of the show today.
That's right.
Did you know that going
on? No.
All the way out here in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, your mom paid $4, which is the cost of a sponsorship deal. The show is brought to you by your mother, whose name you will say much more eloquently than I can. Can you give her one more shout out?
Maricela Vargas Garcia.
Big shout out to Maricela. Yeah.
Thank you, Mom.
Gracias.
Mama.
Do you know what's that story? How's that go? What do you mean? Like, was she there when you tripped over the arm in Armenia?
No. No, we were in line to, well, I had just venerated the relic and I was getting ready to leave and I saw Polo and we said, hey, and he was like, oh, my mom's here. And I was like, oh, where's your mother? And so then we got introduced and she's a smile just like Polo. She's just like delightful and like,
I bet
up
your
a room.
Moms
it's
are
all
the
in
best.
The jeans.
Yeah.
Moms are the best. I talked to my mom on the phone about 30 minutes ago, uh-huh. Right before we went on there. Yeah, big fan. Big shout out to Judy Spann. Cool. That's the longest fun fact, I think, in history.
Really
which is appropriate because it's what's on your mind episode.
Yeah, it works out.
You got anything? Might as well keep it rolling.
Oh, sure, why not? I just got off of an awesome spiritual warfare retreat.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I had a really good time and it was impactful and it was came at the perfect time for me.
And I'm still frustrated that I didn't go. Yeah. I know. I hate it.
Should've me too.
Were you there?
I didn't.
He was invited.
Oh. But our friend of the show, Jonathan, was there.
He was. Yeah. Jonathan was there. And we had a good time and it was very impactful. So I'll try and share my knowledge that I've bestowed upon, that has been bestowed upon me from Dr. Paul Thigpen, also a friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. Been on the show before. Talking about aliens and spiritual warfare.
Yeah, that's right. And speaking of friends of the show, if you are interested in coming onto the show, there is an email at the bottom. It is youngadults@thequestatlanta.com. Please reach out. Everybody here is volunteers, and we like to just share what being Catholic means to us. And while you're at it, click that subscribe button, click that like button, and let's get on with the show.
I want to take, can I try a different approach with that? Can I try a different approach with like pitching the like thing?
We're going. Yeah.
No, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm excited.
I don't even care if you like the show. Like, comment or don't. Not going to bother me. I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight anyway. So if you don't feel like liking the show or you don't feel like subscribing to the show, that's fine. Why don't you go just like another Mr. Beast video or something? You don't have to do it. I'm not your dad. I can't tell you what to do. But you should. You should, and we'd really appreciate it.
It's quite charitable. Well,
it is charitable. But if you don't like the show, hit the don't like button because that actually YouTube loves it when we hit the don't like button. Now we can't have too many not likes, but make it look controversial because that's what we are here at Honest.
Just write "I disagree" in the comments, no matter what the show's about. Just say that's wrong, and then we can roll on from there.
Yeah.
Heretics, all of you.
But then you'll have to copy and send to all your friends and tell them about how much you don't like it.
Yeah. Hey, you guys should definitely not like this show too. Yeah, we should just start an anti-marketing campaign where we just actively dissuade people from having any involvement with the show. So we've got a few minutes left until break, and I would love to talk briefly. I would love to get into the whole Eucharist thing. I don't think that I need to give a... I hope not, right? For if anybody's listening and has any confusion, right? As Catholics, right, we believe that Jesus Christ literally, physically, actually is present in the Eucharist. We don't believe it's a symbol. We're not doing this just as to commemorate the Last Supper. No, we believe that at Mass, every single Mass, right, that the bread and the wine on the altar are transformed miraculously into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. It's one of the hallmarks of our faith. And it's one of the pieces of our faith that the majority of Catholics in the Western world don't know that's what the church teaches or don't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. So then what do you tell someone, though, who's struggling? I love how you proclaim that that is the truth. But what do we tell someone who's like struggling?
Yeah, no,
with
question.
Believing that, and it's like they look and they see the bread and they just can't wrap their mind around it, and it, you know, because it was, I remember it was difficult for me, you know, when I was a teenager right. to wrap my mind around it. So what kind of answer would you guys give or would be
I have an answer. I have an answer.
Yes,
yeah.
I have an answer. We don't have like a little, we don't have a little indicator thing or a little sign to hold up.
Well, I like it.
Not
I
like a Zoom hand. Call, but we have to literally hold up our hands. I actually Let's have, and this has been featured in the podcast before when I gave my conversion story a couple months ago, actually.
We'll link it down below.
Yeah. Hey. Yes, please. But to answer your question, Thomas, I think I have an answer to that because I myself have experienced this too. And I got super emotional when I shared it the first time, but I promise you I won't get emotional this time. if not, there's tissues there. I'm just
kidding. Okay, just in case.
But I remember sitting, even before I decided to become Catholic, and I remember sitting in my pastor's office at the parish in my college town, St. Luke the Evangelist, if you haven't heard. It's St. Luke's. It's where I got confirmed. And I remember just sitting there talking with the pastor, and the one thing he told me was, because I was already a Christian and I was already a believer, but he said, you know, what is the one thing that you believe? And he asked me, you know, do you believe that Jesus is your savior? And I said, yes. And then he said, okay, do you believe that Jesus died for you to save you from your sin? And I said, yes, Father. And he said, what if I told you that that same savior that humbled himself, came down from heaven, humbled himself to become man, to go to the cross willingly, humbles himself to a piece of bread every single time, in every single mass, for love of you. And that, you know, to dwell with you in the simplest form. What if I told you that that was possible? What if I told you that, you know, that's what actually the Eucharist is about? And then it hit me like a ton of bricks and I just started bawling my eyes out. Mm. And the rest, as they say, is history.
So it took us 27 minutes to get through some fun facts, and that was golden. That's what the idea of a what's on your mind / heavily oriented towards the Eucharist. And because I'm supposed to say at Apple Vision Pro episode, that's what it's about.
No, well, we wanted to talk about taking the Eucharist through Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
No, are you?
I literally don't even know what Apple Vision Pro is. Like, I know it's a thing you wear on your face that makes the world
augmented reality.
Yeah, weird and unnatural. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate.
And I want to talk about all the Apple Vision Pro thing. If I say it more, does that help? Should I just say Apple Vision Pro a whole bunch?
Well, I would love to just talk about people's opinions of Apple Vision Pro.
I want
to
talk about Apple Vision Pro. Yeah.
Let's say it in Spanish.
What's it in Spanish?
Visión Pro de Apple.
Ooh, that sounds nice. I like that one.
I should have just stuck with that, like, hands down across the board. Instead of having it
seriously.
Apple Vision Pro, like, say it again.
Visión Pro de Apple.
That needs to be it always, everywhere. I love it.
Solo like disponible en México. Only available in Mexico.
I would love to get into that. I want to dig into that. I think that's super topical. But I want to get back to your question just a little bit, Thomas. Great. Right? Because I feel like a lot of times what we do as Catholics is we'll hear a question, right, a challenge to the faith like that, and then the answer will immediately go into some Catholic theological explanation. And I think that that's not disordered, but I think that's ineffective, right? I think there's an article I've mentioned before called The Apologetics Mansion. It's wonderful. You can find it on Catholic.com, right, Catholic Answers website. And basically the whole thing is, the whole article talks about structuring apologetics the way that you would build a house, right? The foundation is going to be sort of basic understanding of objectivism versus relativism, right? The understanding that truth exists. And the first story is going to be theistic apologetics. The second story is going to be Christian apologetics. The third story is going to be Catholic apologetics. But what we do sometimes is we're standing on the third floor of Catholic apologetics, and we're yelling to people who are outside the house, right? Mm-hmm. People who haven't even accepted that there's truth, or haven't even accepted that the resurrection is real, right? They're not Christians, or they don't believe in God, or they don't even believe in truth, right? And we're shouting to them about the Immaculate Conception or something, right? And that makes no sense. And once again, a really frustrating thing about being Catholic is that in order to understand and really to sort of dredge into the depths of the, like, our understanding of why we believe the things we believe in our faith, it requires a whole lot more than a pithy Bible verse. And that's what the Protestants have on us. It's really convenient for them, right? They can just throw out a Bible verse, and with the, if you're going to buy into the whole sola scriptura nonsense, then that's all you need, right? And unfortunately, when we're Catholics, right, we understand that the faith is a whole lot deeper than just sort of pithy one-liner sound bites from the New Testament. Now, we can throw out Bible verses for this in particular, right? Are you open to John 6 right now?
Yes, sir.
Dude, that's great minds, man. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to read it? What are you going to do?
If the time comes.
Okay, cool. But we can pull, right, John, what is it, John 6?
John 6, 51.
What is it? What does that say?
It says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh."
Okay, so that, right? That one, what is it? John 6:51?
Yes, sir.
Right? That's easy and pithy. Here's the problem, though. What do they always say? What do the Protestants say when we say, well, John 6 is John 6, right? Jesus says right here, eat my body. Right, my flesh is true food.
Symbolism.
They all come literal. Back to symbolism.
Yeah. It's right? Not literal.
And so, not even that pithy one liner. You got to read the whole thing. Right, we did this the other day with a group of seventh graders that I teach. Mm-hmm. We read the whole thing, and I said, "Let's go through this and see what he's saying." Jesus is saying, "This is my body," over and over and over again. And then, what do most of his disciples do? They leave. And then what does Jesus do? Does he chase after them and say, "I was just being metaphorical"? No, he doesn't, right? He looks to Peter and he says, "Are you going to leave me too?" And I just think that's beautiful. I love that. That's because it's repetitive. Oh, it's not like when he says, "I'm the tree of life," right? Or "the kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard," yeah. Right? He is very, like, doubling, tripling, quadrupling down, letting people abandon him, and then looking at the guys who are left and saying, "You guys going to leave too?" Right.
You know, something crazy is that the only 666 in the Bible is John 6 verse 66, where it says, "After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer walked with him." After Jesus talks about him being the flesh, bread of life.
Are you making a connection to the Antichrist and people who don't believe in the true presence of the Eucharist? Because that'd be kind of neat. I'm here for that. I don't know how.
I was waiting for that. Honestly,
no. It's just a fact. It's just a weird fact, but a fact regardless. The only 666 in the Bible is that people left because they didn't believe.
Here's a good follow up question on the Eucharist, and I have an answer, but I want to hear y'all's answer. Are Catholics, technically speaking, cannibals?
Great question.
Yeah, because the knee-jerk reaction is like, "Oh no!" But then you think about it a little bit. Like, I don't know. What are your thoughts? You were a head shaker.
No, because it's so much deeper than that. Because Christ is so much God, as we know. Christ is true God and true man. We say this at every Sunday Mass. We say this when we pray the Rosary. You know, it's in the Apostles' Creed. And I feel that to say that Catholics are cannibals would literally make Jesus look like just the most ordinary personist person. I know that's not really a thing, but it's like, you know, well, I mean, you understand what I'm trying to get absolutely. At, you know, it to be a cannibal is, you know, you're taking life from somebody. And, you know, you look up John 14:6 because, you know, Pullo actually brought his Bible and I didn't. Shame on me. But, you know, you look up John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, it's because Jesus is God. So only God can come down and humble himself. He has the divinity and has the, you know, the presence, as we've talked about before, to literally to take that form. So, you know, you wouldn't be taking life from him because he is the giver of life. Does that make any sense at all?
It does. To push back a little bit, I think we're cannibals.
I agree.
I do. I think it's denying the humanity of Jesus. If we, and I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm super open to the debate, but I feel pretty firmly in the, technically speaking, yes. If I'm going to say Jesus is fully God, but Jesus is also fully man, 100% man, with a human nature in addition to his divine nature, and he told me to eat his flesh, and he tells me that the Eucharist is really his flesh, and if all those things are true, then I'm really eating the flesh of a person who's a total person. He's the personiest person.
He's fully divine.
Right. And so, and I'm open to the discussion. I don't like, this isn't necessarily a hill that I'm going to die on no matter what, but I'm curious.
Yeah, so I think that we have to keep in mind the humanity and the divinity of Christ himself. I think we also have to understand the whole reason this is a scandal is because, like, for the Jews, blood was life,
mm-hmm.
right? So to say that you're going to drink my blood is like, you're going to take my life.
Hmm.
So
it's,
you have
it's
that
not kosher,
you,
right? They're not allowed.
It's not
verboten.
Like, it's like the biggest scandal.
Right.
But you have to keep in mind the fact that yes, we're receiving Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity. It is his humanity, but it's also his resurrected, glorified divinity.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Like, what's the purpose of the Eucharist, but to, it's God's gift of his entire person to us. It is not just his humanity. It is his divinity. So I would say yes and no. Like, yes, we are, but no, we're not. Because it's, when you talk about cannibalism, you're literally talking about just, like, be, yeah.
Of a mundane
person. No, I'm sorry. I got distracted because I was thinking about something else. The guys mentioned cannibalism at work one day.
It's just cannibals eat broken flesh.
Yes.
We consume the body and blood
of the risen
flesh.
The soul and divinity piece is a big part of
it. It makes a huge difference.
Right.
And so
I'm not recommending cannibalism for just in your daily life, for the record. Yeah.
Well, one thing I think is awesome, and it, you know, not to take a dig at the people who left Jesus, but because it is confusing, you know,
yeah,
you've been following this guy for 3 years, right? We're used to it. We've heard it for years and years and years. Like, they're like, okay, this guy's telling me to eat his flesh. And actually, I used to know the Greek, but I can't remember it now. But
Trogo.
Trogo, yeah. So like, he changes the Greek word for eat, and it goes from like eat just to consume to like munch and
right.
like and gnash.
I've heard. Yeah.
And so when they challenge him, he like takes it even further. But the thing is like, he already knows about the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knows like how we celebrate Mass. He's seen all of us receive the communion, the Eucharist. And so when he's there saying that, he had the Mass in mind already.
Right.
He already knew about the little host. He already knew that I have to take a special like low gluten host now because some things that the doctor told me to. But
hey.
But so he knew that, and that's what he meant when he said, "Eat my flesh." He didn't say like you're gonna eat like actual like, yes, we eat the actual flesh, but he said it's gonna look like bread, and it's gonna taste like bread. And when you drink my blood, it's gonna look like wine. It's gonna taste like wine. It's gonna have the accidents of alcohol in it.
I was about to bring up the word accidents because it's so frustrating trying to explain this to anyone who doesn't understand why we believe this, who thinks, you know, there's a lot of accusations that Catholics are just pagans or that the Eucharist is just a modified worship of the sun god or all
this
nonsense, right?
Yeah.
And it's really difficult. I've attempted to have those conversations, but once again, I think that's yelling out the third story window.
And
it's frustrating because if you're not Catholic, if you're hostile to the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. we need to sit down pretty regularly for months, to really unpack. And me, who's just a dude, right, I'm not gonna have all the answers pretty much ever. That's great thing, and I'll pitch the website, right? Catholic.com, once again, go to Catholic.com. It's Catholic Answers website. Mm-hmm. They've got great answers to all these like gotcha questions about the Catholics. You type in the Eucharist, you type in reconciliation, type in whatever, apostolic succession, right? And they're going to give you a huge rundown of everything from historical documents like primary resources to articles written about it. And it's pretty fantastic because that can be a very frustrating thing about our faith is that it's not this simple surface level. There's nothing wrong with it. If you don't have this deep knowledge of the theology, right, that's fine. That can be good sometimes, actually, to have sort of more of a simple understanding. But it goes so much deeper, and there's so much more involved there. And I get frustrated, especially when I'm talking to some dude in a bar about why I ought to be Catholic. So
that's why I like Peter's response when Jesus turns to him and says, yes. Are you going to let me too?
Where would I go?
I yes. almost like imagine Peter just kind of exasperated, like just taking like this sigh of like, Lord, to whom shall we go? Like, yeah. I don't understand. I'm not going to pretend to understand. I'm not going to offer some deep thought on this. I am confused beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I know who you are.
Yeah.
And I trust that your the words that are coming out of your mouth. Like, if you say this is your body and blood, and I must eat your flesh and drink your blood, I'm going to do it. I don't have to understand it. I'm just going to do it.
Right.
Love that.
The one thing that I love, Alicia, what you said is, and this is really transformative for not only for my faith, but just as a person as well. So two summers ago, I went and visited a Coptic community. And
the one in Dawsonville?
Yes.
That's our college. That's where we went to college.
We went to college there.
On the golf course? Surrounded by an old golf course?
Yeah, yeah. There's like little ducks and a big lake and stuff.
Yep, big lake. Yeah, yeah. White houses and a...
The ducks weren't there when we were there.
Oh, never mind. Must be...
Oh, I saw a little family of ducks. They were just hanging out.
No, it must have been a different North Georgia Coptic community on the golf course.
Yeah, well, there's one in Dawsonville. I think it's called St. Mary's Coptic.
Yeah, community. No, it's literally where we're going to go. They live in our dorm rooms.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't even know that was a college.
That community. Yeah.
It was.
So Henry met his wife there, and Julian met his wife there.
I proposed to my wife on the balcony of the big building where they eat, right? That goes up over the lake.
Wow.
That's where I proposed to my wife.
Yeah, they didn't let us go that far, unfortunately. But it's funny because it was myself and a friend of mine that went and visited this community. And sweetest people ever. They are just so sweet. They took us through. They offered to go and, like, make us a plate of food from their cafeteria and, like, bring it to us. And they were just, they were so kind and so charitable. Answered any questions that we had about their community. They asked us about, like, where we are. You know, in our walk with Christ, you know, asked us like, you know, asked how can we pray for you? I mean, it's amazing. Awesome. And so they're so wholesome as well. Like they're just the sweetest people ever. And I remember they asked, you know, do you have a church? Do you belong to a church? And, you know, of course we said, well, we're Catholic. And he said, yeah, we get a lot of Catholics. And it was funny because, I knew nothing about, you know, Christian, about Coptic Christian, you know, and I remember the priest giving a very simple answer about, you know, kind of, Alicia, what you said, you know, about this is what we should do, you know, about communion and about Jesus being there in the gifts. And I remember he said, you know, well, it's what the Bible says.
Right.
It's what the Bible says. And, you know, it's what Jesus wants us to do. It's what Jesus wants us to believe, that he's truly present in these gifts. So, you know, I remember that always stuck with me because they didn't give some deep, you know, answer of, you know, I was expecting them to give some kind of, like I said, I had never known anything about a Coptic community before. So I literally was like, you know, I didn't know what to say. So basically it reminded me of what that Coptic priest said when you said, this is what we should do. You know, this is what Christ wants us to do. So who are we to, and I wish more Protestants understood that. I wish my childhood church understood that because they still believe in the symbol. They have respectfully no theological basis at all. It's an empty practice, and it breaks my heart to say that.
I feel like, and I don't want to speak for all the Eastern all the Orthodox Christians, but I feel like something that they do that I really appreciate, and it's going to sound a little bit like I'm going after them, and I'm really not. I really do mean this as a compliment. They don't have as robust of a sort of scholastic and like academic history And that's not knocking them, right? Actually, it's about to be a compliment. And what I think that does is it simplifies their faith in a way. I'm not saying they don't have great theologians and great thinkers. They absolutely mm-hmm. do in the East. But there's not this hyper-emphasis that we have in the West, right? In Latin and Catholic churches, right? Latin and otherwise, of like really digging into the specifics of, okay, well, when exactly during the consecration does it turn to the Eucharist? Okay, well, what exactly are we talking about when we get here? And I kind of think that's beautiful. Like, I'm glad we do it. I think that's good. We have an intellect. We should use it. I'm sure that there are some people in the Coptic community that are super intellectual in that same way. But that sort of, yeah, that answer of, well, that's how God wants us to do it. That's what it says in the Bible. So obviously we should do it. I think there's beauty to that. I really do.
It's a reverence for the mystery that's taking place. And I love about like the Eastern rites is that there is such a reverence for mystery. And mm-hmm. it's not like you have to kind of break it down with your mind. There's just something to like allow yourself to behold what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. And that's
it. Yeah, I dig it. It's really cool. What else, guys? Other Eucharist thoughts? I know that we're kind of on this tangent. If not, we can get an Apple Vision Pro. The big two, as I like to say. Holy Eucharist and Apple Vision Pro. They go together perfectly.
Maybe it would work for the Protestants because we could actually have Jesus superimposed. Oh, and then, you know, that's a bit maybe sacrilegious. But
yeah, it's like super sacrilegious.
Yeah. Yeah, but if it works for the Protestants.
Yeah, because theirs isn't Eucharist anyway. They could do the little crackers. With Yeah, anybody ever
see? I love Protestants.
Good.
I'm going to throw that out there. And I was talking with a woman that she's a non-Catholic Christian, and she asked me like what, so, you know, because you know I like to pray with Protestants, and I like to mingle with them. You know, I like to pray with people of various faiths, especially throughout my work. You know, I work with people regardless of where they come from and background, and she asked me, like, so why are you Catholic? Because, you know, we agree on so much. Like, what is it exactly about the Catholic faith? And so it's interesting, we're talking about the Eucharist. Because, like, you know, there are times when I've been frustrated with, like, decisions of the church. And
sure.
Maybe I shouldn't be saying this, you know, on air. But it's, you know, there have been some dark spots, even during our lifetime, you know, in our church.
100%.
Yeah. But I'm Catholic, not because of the leaders, not because of priest or you know various figures in the church. I'm Catholic because of Jesus and the Eucharist,
right. Mm.
And that, like, that's what keeps me coming back. And that, like, so you mentioned, like, who 100%. Else would we go? Like, literally, I'm going wherever the Eucharist is,
right?
Because that's what I crave, that's what I want, and that's what I need to live the life that I know is best for me, that Jesus is calling me to.
Was that your response to the woman?
Oh yeah, I said because of the Eucharist.
Cool.
Yeah.
What was her response? If you,
she just kind of, she like nodded and said, "Oh, cool." Hmm. Yeah.
Thomas, cool. I'm glad you brought up your work. We now have listeners in Athens. Shout out to Athens Catholic Radio for picking us up.
Shout out Athens. Yeah.
So we've got a lot of friends out there that are listening. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do? And
thank you. Yeah. So essentially, I run a nonprofit healing ministry where I work with people one-on-one who might be struggling with aspects of their life. They might have issues with addiction, mental health, like depression, anxiety. Maybe they experienced some trauma growing up. Maybe they're struggling in their marriage or their family life. And I help them navigate those issues. Also help them receive healing for whatever trauma they've experienced, whatever wounds that they have. It's like a mix between life coaching, spiritual direction, and inner healing. We also just released in the fall two online courses to kind of help people either one grow in their faith, which is called Unlocked, and allows them to kind of break down any barriers that might be keeping them from growing in their faith. I give them 10 keys to do that. And then the other one isn't even spiritual. It's not, doesn't even mention God, but you would catch on if you kind of knew about your faith, that it's definitely steeped in the Catholic teaching, just doesn't mention it. But it's to help people overcome addiction, something that I did, almost 18 years ago myself. So I just use, tactics and steps that I personally kind of use in a way to overcome that. And I call those keys as well to kind of unlock your addiction and find the freedom that and joy and peace that we're all made for.
Did you say the name of your ministry? Because I want to include
It's Zenith Ministries. You can find it at zenithministries.com.
Cool.
Yeah, thanks.
That's awesome.
God is doing amazing things through it. It's really a blessing to see him work up close.
That's huge.
Yeah, thanks.
So we got about 5 minutes left. We could do popsicle sticks. Or, Julian, you can talk about Apple Vision Pro, whichever one you want to do.
Wait, can we talk about iteration real quick? Super quick.
Popsicle sticks or Apple Vision? Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about
iteration. I vote for polos. Yeah.
There was one quick thing I wanted to mention that I just remembered.
Please.
So, I apologize for forgetting what ancient language adoration comes from, but it means mouth to mouth.
Adoratio.
Yes. Thank you, Alicia. Mm-hmm. Mouth to mouth. So, I learned recently that when you go to adoration, it's as if Jesus is breathing new life into you.
Keep going, Paula. What are you saying?
And it's just a beautiful way of seeing, of literally going into adoration with all your burdens, all your problems, anxieties. And I saw an image of on Instagram somewhere where when you go to adoration, it's as if Jesus is giving you a big hug when you're kneeling in front of the Eucharist.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt.
Just real quick, it's just, that's one of the beauties of being Catholic, is that when you go to adoration, you believe that you're literally face to face with Jesus and he's breathing new life into you.
And it's so frustrating for me because I don't know what this sin is or whatever, but I struggle with taking everything for granted all the time. Right. And so I'll do my holy hour and I'll do my, we have adoration at the school every Friday all day. It's easy to pop in there and hang out with Jesus for a little bit. But it's so hard to stay in that headspace of, hey, this thing that I can do pretty much whenever I want. There's literally an adoration chapel across the street.
Yeah.
Is not this mundane thing. It's not the same way that before I go to bed, I feed my dogs and I brush my teeth and all that. But it can feel like that as Catholic when you habituate yourself to this. I think if we allow ourselves to sort of fall into that, I think it's a mindset, right? It's one of those things that I talk to my spiritual director about this a lot, mm-hmm. right? Of, I kind of have to remind myself that no, this is a place set apart, right? I am here literally with God. And it's easy to say out loud right now, but it becomes frustrating when you're trying to put it in practice and you're sitting there and those thoughts start racing and everything. And eventually I got some great advice, which was, it's okay. Like, being with Christ is okay.
Yeah.
It's not your job, right? You're not going to be like so good at prayer that Jesus needs your help to do a really good adoration, right? That's not how it works at all. But that is a constant reminder for myself because we have the greatest blessing that exists for humanity, right? Right in front of us, right? God literally himself coming in the flesh to us face to face whenever we want. And it becomes this thing that we don't do, right? It's wild.
You don't have to be Catholic to go to adoration.
Fun fact.
If you are interested, maybe you're a young adult, you don't know how, look up on your church's website, your parish's website, and it'll tell you the times that you can go to adoration. Just about every parish does offer it at some time. So check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You said something from wasn't it part of your conversion story?
What's that? Took place in
adoration as a non-Catholic?
Did I make that up? Well, I was going to say something about a St. Teresa of Calcutta quote.
Please.
That made me think when you talked about the actual, what was it, the Greek definition?
Yeah, mouth to mouth.
Mouth to mouth. Yeah. So there's actually a St. Teresa of Calcutta quote that says, that talks about, I forget what it's called, that it's either, it slipped my mind.
You can't love your neighbor or you can't see Jesus in your neighbor if you can't see him in the Eucharist or something like that.
It was adoration brings you so close to Christ that you can kiss him.
Beautiful.
And I'm just like, that's immediately what I thought of when I thought of mouth to mouth. Because it's like, it's him great. Being on the cross. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then here's us, the poor sinners. And we're like, we're this close. We're like, almost mouth to mouth. So I'll always remember that was the background on my phone for the longest time. Now it's the Sacred Heart, but that's immediately what jumped out at me when you said the mouth to mouth, because I'm just like, that's pretty much that really is it. I mean, it brings us so close to Christ that
Yeah.
This is how far. There's no breathing room. You know, there's... So that was all I was going to say.
So we're almost out of time for mm-hmm. radio. We might continue for a few minutes for YouTube. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say, I want to reiterate what Julian said. If you're not Catholic, that doesn't mean you can't go to adoration. Right. Please mm-hmm. go do it. Make us put our money where our mouth is. Right? Just go sit yeah. there and pray. Just go hang out. And you don't have to believe it, but just be there. Because I'm so confident, right, that the Lord being in front of you is going to have an impact. Even if you don't believe, if you feel any pulling on your heartstrings, please go. Right? Jesus is waiting for you. Go hang out with him.
When you were bringing up the quote of Mother Teresa, it reminded me of a quote of St. John Paul II, which I'm going to butcher too.
It's great.
But it's something along the lines of, like, when you are like able to like pray to Jesus in the Eucharist, in the host, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can see him in the host, like with your eyes of faith, it helps you to then see him in your neighbor or mm-hmm. in the poor yeah. even.
Sure.
And so it's like, we go and we pray to him in the Eucharist, and then we like visualize him. We like look at this bread and we see him. Like it is, the bread is him. And then we can go and like, it like trains our eyes, trains our minds to then go out and love one another all the more.
Because, that's really neat. Yeah, I like yeah. that quote. Maybe we can find it. Put it in the show notes.
Yeah, please do.
Hey.
I won't.
Yeah, that's, I would, because I would love to hear it. That's a great point. It goes back when you guys brought up the word accidents a while back. I want to dig into that a little bit. Yeah, what we mean when we say accidents. Yeah. We're not talking about doing things by mistake, right? We're talking about the physical qualities of a thing.
Attributes.
Right. Attributes of stuff, right? And if we look at it philosophically, this is what I was talking about, the intellectual tradition, and sometimes it can sound like you're kind of getting off the weeds with some crazy stuff, but it's super interesting when you dig into it, right? Things have natures and things have accidents, right? Mm-hmm. So my accidents are what I look like, and it's, I've got this beard, and I've got the skin color I have, and I don't have hair on my head, and I've got beautiful, piercing blue eyes.
Hey. Blue eyes.
I'm 60 like tall, and I right weigh 215 pounds, and all those things, right? Those are my accidents, right? My nature, though, I have a human nature, mm-hmm. and my nature can exist regardless of my accidents. If I get in a horrible car accident and I'm a quadruple amputee and I lose an eye and I get really bad sunburn and all those things that I just mentioned change dramatically, my nature is not changed, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about the accidents in the Eucharist, we're talking about how it maintains the accidents, the qualities, the descriptors of bread, right? It tastes like bread. It looks like bread. It feels like bread. But its nature is not. Right.
Yeah.
But its nature is not bread anymore, because it is literally the body of Jesus Christ, even though it maintains the accidents. And same with the wine when it transforms into the precious blood. I just want to clarify that.
Another thing that I love how you said, John, I love how you said the word accidents, because I remember when going back to RCIA again, I remember them talking. I don't remember if it was our pastor or somebody gave a talk about the Eucharist. And I remember him saying that, you know, why does it have to be bread that Jesus is present in? Somebody, you know, said, you know, something along the lines of, why does it have to be bread? Why can't it be something a little more, you know, something a little more extravagant?
Yeah,
because, sure.
Angel,
you know,
cake.
Exactly. Why isn't it something more extravagant, more lavish, and, you know, fit for a king, right? I mean, and the answer is because we as humans are so simple-minded mm-hmm. in our sinful nature that... It's only through understanding it, understanding him through taking the form of bread, that we can truly understand it in our sinfulness and in our fleshliness. Yeah. And that, because, you know, like I said, we're just so simple-minded. And that always stuck with me for a long time, that because of our feebleness and how small we are compared to the vast divinity of our God and King, you know. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's always stuck with me.
No, totally. I think that's a, yeah, I think the, I always come back to whenever I'm getting into theology and philosophy. I've got a master's in theology. Like, I dug into it pretty good for a little while. I'm not nearly as smart as, you know, real theologians, but I like it at least from a pop standpoint. You know, I like to read my little theology books and get into arguments about von Balthasar or whatever. But I always go back to when I like realize I'll understand something for the first time, which is so fun. I don't get to experience that much anymore, but I love that when you're reading something, you're like, wait, I didn't get it. Now I get it. And it's cool. I feel like I'm like 8 years old and I just figured out how to do math. Like, some math problem is super cool. But I always, this might be a grace, harken back to that dream that Augustine has with the little boy and the shell on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's dumping the water, right, from the ocean into the shell. And Augustine's like, you silly little boy, you're never going to get the whole ocean in that hole. And the little boy looks at him and terrifyingly says, just like you'll never be able to understand the Trinity with your little brain. Oh my God. It's just wild. I think about that all the time, right? And it's really great. Once again, going back, I'm not trying to be some anti-intellectualist or anything, right? I think the intellectual tradition of the church is really, really good. But I also think that it can overcomplicate things, right? It can unnecessarily complicate a really beautiful, simple truth that is Jesus Christ loves you desperately and he wants to be with you for all eternity. He created you to be with him forever. He would have died for you if you were the only person who ever needed him to die, right? And what the Protestants get right is it really is. It's like Christ wants a relationship with us. He really, really wants that relationship. That's what he's after. He's after you, not universal you, you as an individual. But it is really convenient to win YouTube like flame war arguments by busting out some cool theology. So I dig that. We have anything else on this? Julian, Apple Vision Pro.
Oh my gosh.
I wanted to really bring it into the episode when I saw that it was What's On Your Mind, because YouTube loves Apple Vision Pro right now. It just didn't work with the Eucharist. It just doesn't. I'm picturing somebody taking it and I'm getting inflamed in
reality, not reality.
Yeah, maybe we should just all just crap on Apple Vision Pro.
Well, but here's the thing, though.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah, we're sponsored by whatever the opposite
is. It is
a part of
reality. Like, now that they, what you're seeing is in virtual reality, but that is still part of your reality. So is it?
I don't know. I'm not picking up what you're putting out.
Can we let's edit this whole part?
yeah. This is.
I thought it was being super smart.
Reality is what you make of it.
My gosh.
I like the realness of it, Thomas.
You know, I thought I was being really cool and smart, but.
I mean, it is. If reality is perception, then we're percepting non-reality as reality, which can't be good.
Yeah.
With the Apple Vision Pro. We here at Honest God are staunchly anti-Apple Vision Pro. Never seen one in real life, never put one on, but I know I'm against it, and your facts won't change my opinion. That's all I got on Apple Vision Pro. It just looks weird. It looks dystopian and strange, and I don't like it.
You're a Luddite when it comes to Apple Vision
augmented
Pro?
Reality, augmented whatever reality. The heck that means. Yeah, I think that's gross.
So here's my question. It's like all of our progress seems to be going to like phones and the internet stuff. Like, I mean, like you look at like old pictures from back in time, like they had like, you know, in France, they had like tried to make moving sidewalks. People were all trying to like invent various like flying machines, like different types of cars.
I was told we'd have like Martian colonies.
Yeah. There's no more like variety in inventions anymore. It's all like has to do with the internet now.
A screen that you can stare at that makes you addicted to it so that people can make money. Yeah.
I want to see something like planes are great and all, but I'm sure we can come up with more stuff. Like,
they used to have like supersonic jets that would fly from New York to Paris. It's like a real thing.
Yeah.
Like in the 50s and 60s, right? We do it in like 2 hours. And then
they're trying to bring it back.
One of them crashed and we're like, oh, we're never going to do that. Instead, what if you could watch emojis as a movie? Right, it's like, oh,
the
great.
Silliest movie ever.
The future is saying. Really underwhelming. That's the vibe I'm getting right now.
And then, but then also, with baggage claim, like the technology has stayed the same since like the very beginning.
I can talk about TSA for the next hour and a half. I know we're almost done, so I'm not going to. This is a fun hot take. It's not really a hot take. It's just a fun fact. There you go, fun fact. Mm-mm. I have never gotten in one of those body scans that swoops around you.
How do you get out of that?
I've flown a ton of times. I tell them I don't want to. Yep. And they come pat me down. Yep. They get up close and personal. But if they're going to make me go get in their weird whirly gig thing that can see me without my clothes on, they might as well be uncomfortable too. So I have some poor guy come over and pat me down. Yep. Every time. I won't do it. It weirds me out. And it's not because I've got like some help thing. They're always like, you know, it's just whatever way. I'm like, I don't understand what that means. Mm. I don't have some weird like medical concern or whatever. I just don't want to do it because you're telling me I have to do it. And it's really inconvenient. So I'm not going to do that. So you're going to have to go over there and put your hands like in my waistband and all that stuff. Because I feel weird about this. So you might as well too.
If your TSA agents are ornery, you can thank John Henry.
And if you don't so like nice TSA,
just ask if he's been there before.
If you don't like TSA, comment down below. TSA sucks.
TSA is even worse than the Apple Vision Pro that we all hate. Every one of us. Yeah.
But I love flying. Flying's great, especially Delta. I'm a big Delta fan.
Me too. This is a shocker.
It's one of my favorite. Greek letter. I don't know where I was going.
Keep climbing, guys. We'll invite the CEO.
You can come on the show if you're listening.
Ed Bastian. Why don't you invite him? What's his name?
Ed Bastian.
He's Catholic. You said he's Catholic?
Yep.
Oh, we'll get him on the show. We can put him on with Jeff when Jeff comes on. Ooh. Jeff Goldblum, friend of the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he'll be on the show. I was like, I don't know who Jeff Gordon.
He's only on the show if we get a certain number of likes and subscribers. So I'm not going to tell you what that number is, but once you get there, you'll know, because we'll have Jeff Goldblum four times sitting in these chairs and we'll interview him.
It'd be great.
Times four.
Gotta watch it for Apple Vision Pro.
Do we want to wrap up with
popsicle sticks?
Okay. Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Let's wrap it up with popsicle sticks. I think you get front and back on these.
Oh my goodness.
You want one for Richard Julian?
Yeah, why not?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Popsicle sticks, there's 4,000 options, but we always pick the same six every single time. So let's do that. That'll be fun. I'll go first. No, that's lame. That's lame too. Ah, shoot. Okay, well, I'm not going to be that guy who puts one back. So it says, what would you want to be the saint for? I think they mean, like, what would you like to be the patron saint of? What I'd like to be the patron saint of. We had a whole saints episode, and I feel like no matter what I do in life, no matter what I dedicate my life to, I'm going to be the patron saint of, like, daisies, because I saw a daisy one time. You know, every time you read one of these stories, and it's like, they're the patron saint of veterinarians. Like, oh, wow, were they a vet? No. One time their dog got sick. Did they help? Nope. But they're the patron saint now. Like, there's always bizarre how they get to be patron saints. Okay, sorry. So if I get to pick what I want to be the patron saint of, I want to be the patron... If I could be the patron saint of anything, and sort of, like, back applying that to my life, I'd be the patron saint of, like, good dads. I don't know. Hey. Like, I just want to be a good dad and a good husband. That's ultimately all I really want out of life.
You can usurp St. Joseph.
That's what I was
saying. St. Joseph kind of claimed the title already.
I'm going to be a better dad. That's not true. Right, we're going to go crazy this time. We're going to start all the way over there with Alicia. What you got?
Let's go.
Okay, so what person alive or dead do you want to share a meal with? It would be my Nana.
Oh. Did she pass away?
Yep.
Okay, well, never mind. I'm not going to say anything funny afterwards. That's really sweet. That's beautiful.
Such a great answer.
I was going to suggest the CEO of Delta. No, that's beautiful. And that's the right answer, right? Every time you get an alive or dead answer, the answer is always someone who's passed away. Like, every single time.
Yeah.
Like, you should do that. If you picked John Wayne, I would think much less of you. So, it was good.
Thank you.
Well, actually, he's passed away.
I was going to say, I was like, he's dead too.
Not as important as Nana, 100%. What you got, Thomas?
Well, mine was John Wayne for that one, but... So, would you rather, right? So, I got two would you rathers. One, be able to fly or read people's minds.
No, is that really yours?
Yeah. Why?
It's literally on there.
What? Okay.
Okay, I would feel weird being able to read people's minds.
Yeah,
so, I would definitely choose fly.
It's in your case of sin, I would argue. It actually is.
Yeah, that would be weird. And then, have $1 million or perfect health for 20 years. So, now, I would choose have $1 million.
Me too.
But... only because, you know, perfect health for 20 years, like, wow, like, that would be awesome. Like, you know, where would the offering not be, you know?
Like, well, and I'm 34. Like, I'm just going to play it as an odds game, right? Yeah. 54, me and my family lived to be in their 70s and 80s, right? Pretty typically. Yeah. Like, I should be fine. $500,000 would change my entire life right now.
It's not live for 20 more years. It's perfect health. So you never get sick.
I'm not going to die with perfect. Oh, I guess get hit by a truck.
Well, there's a difference between perfect health and immortal.
That's true.
You won't get it.
Invincibility.
Right? It did not say that.
It just says perfect health. Like, you don't get sick. You
invincible.
Feel great.
Cancer.
Bullets
like,
can't.
If it were invincible, that would be different.
So invincible. Don't ache. Like.
No, I have perfect health, but I can still have a piano follow me. And you'll die.
I mean, so well, getting the $1 million doesn't stop the piano from falling.
No, but this is an interesting question.
But you can get the surgery that you need after the piano falls.
But $1 million would pay for that surgery.
But what qualifies as perfect health? Because I would argue, as I'm crushed under the piano, that I'm no longer in perfect health. Would I be invincible if I had perfect health? Do injuries count? Would it just have to be something that would kill me immediately? See what I'm saying? Like a comet crashes into me, I'm dead.
Probably.
Like that.
Yeah, that's
but that's not healthy. So
it wouldn't be healthy.
There is no such thing as perfect health, we all die.
Oh my gosh.
Because the question is, be invincible for 20 years, or have had I pick the invincible one every time, and then I become world famous for like, hey, remember that time that guy shot himself into the sun? Hey, remember that time that guy swam to the bottom of the ocean?
And he would be a millionaire.
Yeah, and I would make a ton of money. Never mind, I take my answer back. I go with my ridiculous. Yeah, I'm invincible for 20.
But this was my question. You have your own.
My question was way less interesting than yours. I want to talk about this one.
What you want?
No, I'm okay. I already said my answer.
Oh, forgot.
What you got, Katie?
All right. Well, there's two questions on here, so I assume. Oh, so you don't answer both?
You can do both. Whatever
okay.
You want.
Which saint would you most like to be like?
Hmm.
Oh, man.
Span, the patron saint of good fathers.
There you go. Even though I'm a woman and I can't be a father.
Hey, that's a bad one. Don't pick that saint. No. That's not a good saint to pick.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to say St. Nicholas because he got to slap somebody and get away with it.
That's hilarious.
And he's actually like, you know, he's looked at as not being a jerk for it. I mean, you think about it.
I like
you know.
St. Nicholas. I'm a big St. Nicholas fan.
I love St. Nicholas.
Like, legit St. Nicholas. Saint Nick. Yeah, I've got a great St. Nicholas costume that I wear every year. And
well,
I walk around the elementary school, and I hand out tangerines.
Oh.
And I insist that I'm not Santa Claus, and everyone still tells me what they want for
Christmas. Santa.
It's the best way to, like, make your day better. It's put on a costume and walk around little kids. They all love you and think you're the best thing that ever happened. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey.
What you got, Polo?
Mine is, if you could fix one problem in the world, what would it be?
The fact that I can't be invincible for 20 years.
I'm sorry.
I'm really hung up on that one. If you could fix that, that'd be great. That's a problem for me.
If I could, I would.
Thanks, man.
But not today.
Oh.
But today I will answer this question, though. I guess it would be apathy.
Whoa, that's like a really good answer.
That's a great answer.
That's a surprisingly good answer. I'm not saying I was expecting you to like whiff that one, but I am saying like that is way better than... Yeah, I was expecting
that. Hey, thank you. Yeah. The invincible.
No, I would still go with it. The problem I would solve is the fact that I'm not invincible for the next 20 years. That's what I would solve. No, apathy is the right answer.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
Just if everyone loved or at least cared for their neighbor, then, you know, a lot of stuff wouldn't go down.
I give a whole bunch of talks, right? College kids and young married guys and whatever. And my recurring theme is that it is apathy that is a greater threat to their souls than evil. Right? They're not 99.999% of them aren't going to grow up to be like transgender Muslim abortion doctors, right? They're going, or any of those things, right? They're going to grow up and they're going to be nothing people. They're going to grow up and they're going to be empty people because that's what our society does, right? It breeds emptiness and just narcissism and a whole world turned in on ourselves and not caring about anything else. That's a really good answer.
Do what Thank makes you, you happy. Yeah. Do you.
You do you.
I think there'd be a lot of really like horrible wars raging all over the place. Right? If everyone were all of a sudden super convicted about things and no longer apathetic. But I don't think any more
so
than...
I think they'd still be diplomatic.
No, they would. They would, absolutely. It would be a much more volatile global environment, though, I think.
So what I'm hearing you say is Polo for president.
I would vote for Polo.
2036, if that's a presidential election year.
It's all right. We'll all be living in trenches fighting our Marxist overlords by then. Julian. That was a joke.
I get it. Yeah, it was
for legal reasons.
And by the way, I love Polo's answer, so I'm going to do that as a topic. So, I'm not going to skip it.
You got a popsicle.
I'm not going to skip it. I'm not going to skip it. I know you're frustrated. Right. But I have to do the shout out for my producing role here. You know?
Oh,
so if you liked Polo's answer, comment down below. We love you, Polo. If we get 5, we're going to do an episode on apathy. Yeah,
let's go. I love that idea. But moving on. Polo.
Yeah.
Who has to be apathetic throughout the entire episode.
Yes.
Or we criticize the antagonist. Apathy. Yeah. No, I love that idea. We should totally do an apathy episode.
Thank you.
Only if you get 5 comments. But
if only with 5 comments.
Make it 10.
What are they supposed to say?
We love you, Polo.
Oh, we do love you, Polo.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Proud of you, buddy.
If you could be brilliant in one area, what would it be? And for me, it would be arguing with Protestants and atheists about the truth about Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I dig it. That's good.
Yeah, thank you.
I would be brilliant in my ability to not die for 20 years. That doesn't really translate, but I'm really hung up on this thing now and how immortality in a very short period of time looks. I think that's an interesting thought experiment.
It requires an element of brilliance.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Sure. No, that's good. It was brilliant in one thing for 20 years. Or I'm not for 20 years. Sorry. All of them are not for 20 years.
Stuck on this 20-year thing.
Yeah.
Brilliant in one area is what it says. What would it be? But they also ask, what are you really good at? But we don't need to get into that. We don't have time.
I would do something that involves, ministry. Yeah. I don't know exactly what it would be, but I feel like that's the most... Like, it's not going to make you money, but it's going to be really, really amazing.
Like we're doing right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
But what fine, what I'm really good at is pushing buttons, because my wife and mother will attest to that.
You're pushing buttons right now?
And my mother-in-law. They all know how good I am at pushing buttons. Thank you.
You're a pro. That's why we pay the big bucks.
That's right.
And unfortunately, we are slightly over time right now by about 20 minutes. So we are going to end this episode right now. Thanks so much for being here, Polo, Katie, Thomas, Alicia, producer Julian. Always a pleasure, man.
Yes.
Sure, it's been, whether you're there or not, it's been real. I think that's all we got.
That's all we got.
All right. We ready to go? Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God on AIM 1160 The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.